what? Disciples. And disciples really means being a follower of Jesus. And I just want to read you out of Mark chapter 1. I feel in my spirit that for the next few months, I really want to unpack what it means to be a disciple. And I believe he's going to use the scriptures of Mark, the book of Mark. How many has ever read through the Mark? You could do it in about an hour. Okay, it's a wonderful thing to do. Anyway, here is a brief story of Jesus' life. It says, one day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. How about we read it together? As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you're my dearly loved son, and you're bringing me great joy. The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals, and angels took care of him. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee, where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. The people were amazed of his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. So Jesus is baptized. He begins to preach. He comes along on the Sea of Galilee, and he sees Simon, which is later called Peter, and Andrew, and he says, come, follow me. Why would they? Why would they follow him? Why would they get up and leave their nets and follow him? Why would they give up what was their career, really, and say, okay, Jesus, whatever you say? Because they trusted him. But why would they trust him? Here he is coming on the scene. And so I'll give you two answers. That's probably more that I believe. One is that John the Baptist, how many have heard of John the Baptist? He came along before preparing the way for Jesus. He went to the Jordan River and he began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And whoever repented, he baptized. But it says in John chapter 1 that it was like God had prepared him that the Messiah is coming. How many of you know that was prophesied in the Old Testament for hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus ever came on the earth? It was prophesied he was going to come. And what it says in the Bible is John the Baptist had heard from God that when this person came, the Holy Spirit would come on him and it would be a sign that it would be him. So I think that in the Jordan River, he began to say, there is a man coming who is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And I'm not even worthy of tying his shoes. And I know who it's going to be, because the Holy Spirit's going to come on him, and then I would know. And you see, he had just baptized Jesus. Jesus came to John and he said, John, baptize me. And he baptized him. And as he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit came on him. And John knew this is the guy. And so Andrew and Simon and John and James has probably heard him say, here he is. How many came to know Jesus because somebody told you about Jesus? So then, the second reason is, my friends, It said that he preached or he spoke with authority. Not like the lawgivers, not like the Pharisees. And the Greek word there is author. Like, you know, an author of a book. So he spoke as if he was the author of the words. He spoke from within. It came from some supernatural way. The truth came out of him, and not because he quoted somebody else, but he quoted actually his father. How many said come into a place and you feel that God is actually speaking to you? There's an anointing that just touches your life. I believe that the anointing that was on Jesus touched their life. There's a guy called Dr. Travers. In the mid-20th century, he was considered one of the most leading psychologists in the United States, most influential in the science of psychology. And for 40 years, he's never, ever set a foot in the church. But one day at 65, I'm not even there yet, at 65, he walks into a church, he sits in a pew, and he had a full-blown revelation of God. How many knows when you have a full-blown revelation of God, something happens? And he spends his next 25 years until he is 90 leading a doctorate program in psychology for Christians. It had never been done before. Why did he do that? Because he encountered the presence of the living God. Amen. I believe that these disciples encountered the presence of the living God. The question is, what does that to do with you and me? What has that to do with if you're a grad? Well, I have to tell you something. That whoever you are and wherever you are, you're following somebody or something. Your choice is whom you're going to follow and where you're going to follow. Go ahead. You have dreams. Pursue the rainbow. But you might be surprised. One day you may wake up and realize that it never offered what it was supposed to. Jesus said, when the blind leads the blind, you end up in the pit. When you choose to follow the wrong things, you might find yourself in the pit one day. As an atheist growing up in Denmark, I thought I found the truth. I thought I got it all figured out. In fact, I preached what I figured out. That there was no God. That actually we just came from slime. There's no purpose in life. We're really just insignificant. We're just like evolved animals. How many knows that that message is also being preached today? And that's a message you're going to find in universities and colleges. And you can just pull back and just flow with the culture you're in. But culture sometimes got it all wrong. The culture I grew up in, you see, I discovered when I looked back upon my culture that I wasn't so smart after all. I thought I was smarter than everybody else, but all I ever did was just flowing with the flow. I asked my niece about Jesus. And she said, why do I need Jesus? I got a good marriage. I got money in the bank. I got a good career. I have a child. Why would I need Jesus? And you see, that is a modern way of thinking. Whatever you can give me, that'll make me happy. I don't mind. But if it doesn't seem to apply to me at the moment, I don't care. I don't care. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm old enough to know that lots of these dreams are just not going to produce what you think they will. And there's things they have no answers to. There are things they have no real answers to. The answers to the questions that every human being eventually would have to face. What is life after death? What am I here for? Who am I? Why do I live, eat, and breathe? I personally believe that the only one who can answer that one is Jesus Christ. So why? Why should I follow him? Why should I? In John chapter 1, Philip, he goes and he finds Nathan. And he said, "We have found the one that Moses and the prophet speaks about." He's talking about the Messiah. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. "We have found him. He's the one who's coming to save us." And Nathan says, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And he says, "Come and see. Come and see." My friends, you don't have to go what I say. See, I believe that he's my Savior, my Redeemer, my Deliverer. I believe he's the answer to everything I have ever questioned about life. I believe he's my purpose. I believe he's worthy of my worship. But don't go by what I say. Come and see for yourself. Come and find out. Discover for yourself. God is made in such a way that you can actually search out the evidence for Jesus Christ and you'll find him overwhelmingly truth. But you got to search for yourself. Paul grew up in a Christian home since he was 5 or 6. But the day came when Paul had to search for himself. Even though he now here stands here and he sings and he worships and he had heard lots about God. But it wasn't until he had an encounter with God that he became a follower of Jesus. So how do I do this? How do I become this follower of Jesus? What does that really mean? Do I have to be a missionary? Do I have to go and live in a mud hut in Africa? No. No. But this is what I believe it means. And I want to use the illustration of a philosopher, a Danish philosopher. There are some smart people there. A Christian Danish philosopher called Kierkegaard. He said, for you to follow Jesus, there needs to be a leap of faith. But it's not a blind leap. It is actually a leap based on some evidence. And similar, like, illustration would be marriage. I knew my wife a little bit before I married her. We dated. We wrote to each other. I was in Denmark. I visited her. I stayed at her place. We knew each other somewhat. But it wasn't until I married her that I knew her. And how many knows that it takes faith? I really didn't know for sure what she was going to be like 20, 30 years later. Now I do know, but then I did not know. And she didn't know what I was going to be like 20, 30 years down the road. But now she does. But it took faith. It took a step, a leap of faith. And you know what? Without that, there is no marriage. It's okay. You can walk around it. But until you make that step, you're not going to experience that. It's like having a child. My friends, there is a leap of faith. You don't know how that child is going to turn out. You see other people raising children, and it looks like it's working. But when you get your own kid, there's commitment. For good or for the worse, you're going to raise that kid, and your heart is going to be involved in that little kid. Amen? So what I'm saying is the leap of faith, the thing that causes you to follow Jesus, is a high level of commitment and passion. Amen? And so how do I do that? Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. I was sitting in Bob's bookstore. I was supposed to fill in for my wife because he had a funeral to go to. And so I got hold of this book called Brother Andrew. How many have ever heard of a Brother Andrew? God Smuggler. Well, to make a long story short, he ended up as a soldier in the war in Indonesia and got shot in his leg and came home and ended up in the hospital, got the cast off. They tried to help him to walk. Anyway, he felt that his whole life had come to an end. He would love to run. He loved to do things. He was a very adventurous kind of fellow, but he could never walk again. They told him he'd never walk without a walker or a cane. But then he picked up his mother's Bible, and he began to read the Bible, and he began to search it, and he began to find things begin to stir. And one guy invited him to a crusade, and they went to a crusade, and they began to sing a song at the end of it. They actually mocked the whole crusade. They laughed at the preacher. They laughed at, and they laughed at the music. But at the end of the whole thing, there was a song that says, "Let go." And he had a hard time letting go of the trauma he had experienced in the war. He had a hard time believing that it was a good God. But that song, "Let Go," kept lingering in his spirit. And that one night, after he read the scriptures, and with the help of a girlfriend who believed, he bowed down and says, "God, if you can take this away from me, I will follow you." That's all he prayed. And the next morning, he woke up and he said, "That thing is gone. And I have joy unspeakable, full of glory." And if you'd know his story, there's 16 years of ministry in the mission field. And he's famous for smuggling Bibles into China. He started with surrendering everything. I'm going to end this quickly. The only way, my friends, that you can follow Jesus is through faith, as you said. And faith, my friends, cannot be separated from his word. Faith, the word, and the Holy Spirit will lead you to follow him. But when you do, you're going to find things in here that you don't agree with. You're going to find things in here that is actually very different than what you grew up with, and I did. And you have a choice. You can either accept what he says and ask him to show you what it means, or you can reject it. But when you reject it, you're not following of Jesus. You're following of your own God. When you follow him, there's going to be moments where you get a little bit offended by Jesus. But let Jesus teach you. Don't let the world teach you. Amen. Let's stand.